Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. In Joshua chapter 7, we find the very fascinating story of how Joshua, who had just come from a phenomenal victory at Jericho, where God miraculously caused the walls of Jericho to fall down, allowing the Israelites to go in and take that city and destroy it completely, complete victory, though they had not literally lifted a sword, but they had simply obeyed God's instructions to march around and then to shout on that seventh day, the seventh time around. They came from that place of victory to Joshua chapter 7, where we find them unable to defeat a very small city called Ai. And I'm going to read from chapter 7, starting at verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.'" Now that story is phenomenal and full of insight for us in our Christian lives. The scripture tells us that the Lord identified for Joshua the cause of defeat that they had just encountered when they went up to the city of Ai. He said, "You're defeated before your enemies. You turned your back before your enemies because of the accursed thing that's in the midst of thee, O Israel." God said, "Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take the accursed thing away from among you." Now that's an interesting scripture, but it's a word for us today. We live in a land that is filled with accursed things. The definition of accursed literally means a doomed object or something appointed for destruction or things which should have been utterly destroyed. God had given Israel very specific instructions when they went into Jericho. Before they attempted to surround Jericho, march around it according to the word of the Lord gave them very specific instructions. He told them they were to destroy everything. They were to not take any of the accursed things. And what he referred to there was literally any of the physical objects that belonged to this heathen culture that were representative of the things that God opposed. Now, there's many things in our culture that God stands completely opposed to, and yet they fill our land. And God does not want any of us as Christians to be participants in or partakers of things that God calls accursed. The problem with the Israelites taking of these accursed things is that it literally brought a curse upon themselves, put them in a position where they would not be able to stand before their enemies. In other words, what God intended for them to have victory over, they could not have victory over because of their own decision or agreement to take in something that God stood opposed to. Now, this week, I've been teaching on the subject of how to live free from oppression. We live in a land where you can look around and see oppression everywhere. It's on the faces of the people. It's upon the lives of people. It's harassing and tormenting families. People are oppressed. And that word literally means ones that are dominated by the enemy or taken under the dominion of Satan. And there are people who are experiencing tremendous oppression in our land. And that oppression brings sorrow and sadness. It brings depression. And it brings an inability to have victory over the simplest areas of a person's life. And God never intended for a Christian to live a non-victorious life or to live an oppressed life. Jesus came, he said about himself that he came at literally as one who was anointed to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. It says in Luke 4:18 in the Amplified Translation, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. We live in a very oppressed land, and yet God wants you to live not under that oppression, but free from oppression. But how do we do that? We have to know how Satan gains a foothold of oppression in a person's life. This past week, we talked about different satanic footholds. One very large one that's often used is very simply getting a foothold in the thought life of a person where they come into agreement with Satan in some area, where they'll agree with some satanic suggestion about themselves, about their life, even though perhaps they're a Christian. If a Christian believes that they're saved and all that, but they're unlovable or they're unlovely or they're a rejected person or they believe they'll always be lonely, those sorts of lies that have been fed to them by Satan himself are intended to keep or to allow a spirit of oppression to come into that person's life where they will feel rejected, unlovable, unlovely, and a spirit of loneliness will be allowed to come in and just create a stronghold that'll isolate that person. And there are many Christians who suffer in that way. God did not intend for you to ever be in a stronghold of oppression as a Christian. He says about you, you're the apple of his eye. You're accepted in the beloved. There's no rejection there. And yet many Christians accept lies that Satan has whispered to their own thought life as being true when God's word stands completely opposed to those lies. You have to choose as a Christian whether you're going to believe the word of God, no matter what it feels like, or you're going to believe the whispers of Satan. If you come into agreement with satanic suggestions about who you are, what you're like, what your life is supposed to be like, you'll find a foothold of the enemy developing that will eventually become a stronghold if you do not stand against it with the word of God and repent for agreeing with it in the first place. God wants you to live a life full and free of all oppression, but full of the goodness and the victory of God. That's one way that Satan will get a foothold of oppression in a believer's life, will be through common lies that sound reasonable and logical, and that perhaps he has even shown you evidence of, perhaps through the actions of a person, and yet they are not in agreement with the Word of God. Another way that Satan gets a foothold of oppression in a person's life, believer or unbeliever, is simply through ignorance. The scriptures tell us that in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of things that the Word of God clearly states are opposed by God, say some area that you don't realize is something that God absolutely hates or just stands opposed to. If you don't recognize that or understand that or know that from the Word of God and you allow it into your life, that can easily become a foothold for Satan through simply your ignorance of the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the apostle warned lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And he's talking to Christians. So he said, we are not ignorant of his devices. The apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said about himself, we're not ignorant of his devices. And so we have to be wise to the devices or the strategies of Satan in order to live a life free of oppression. Oppression will try to take you down. It will try to keep you down. It'll try to immobilize you. It'll try to destroy and steal your joy, your life, your vitality, your physical energy, your health, your finances, or your emotional joy. But God wants you to live a life free of oppression, but you have to know Satan's strategies. One is by lying to you and making it sound like it's the truth. Secondly is by introducing something into your life that you're not knowledgeable of the Word of God, that it's something that God opposes. That happened in this story in Joshua. Joshua was not aware that someone else in his camp had brought in something that God opposed. He was ignorant of that fact, and even though he was ignorant, Satan was able to bring in trouble to the camp. They came under a curse, it says in Joshua 7. They literally became cursed because one of the members of the camp being disobedient to God and bringing in the accursed thing, the thing God stood opposed to. It was a doomed object. It was something that was supposed to be utterly destroyed. And yet because of that sin and that introduction into the camp, or you could say into the home, into the family of the Israelites, they were not able to defeat their enemies. Or God put it this way, you can't stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing. Is there any area of your life where you're not getting victory over and over and over again? You seem to be going in the reverse. In fact, it seems like things are getting worse and worse. Ask the Lord. Say, cry out, God, is there some area I've been ignorant of? Have I allowed a foothold for Satan to come in to bring oppression to my life where he's robbing and stealing from me? Have I allowed some accursed thing in my life and I don't even realize it? Well, the Lord pointed that out to Joshua. And Joshua was immediately obedient to get the thing removed. And they did so. And after that, the Israelites had victory after victory. But it's vital for us to understand that that principle of accepting something into your life or into your home that is something God stands against or is accursed by God will bring trouble to you. And it'll bring oppression into your home. Let me give you an example that was very interesting to me. I was preaching on this subject in a church, and a brother who was a contractor and a good Christian, loved the Lord, prayed, fasted, read his word, was very dedicated Christian, had been having trouble over the last several months in his business. He was getting robbed, literally, in every way. Things were going very wrong, and he had been seeking God. What is the answer? What is the answer? What is the problem? There's some area that Satan's been able to come in here and oppress me in my business and in my personal life. He's having horrible nightmares, and it had started over the last few months. As I preached on this message, he had the sudden realization that he had brought home from a trip to the Holy Land and to some surrounding countries that they had visited. He had gone on a trip with an archaeological trip to the Holy Land. And in the process of that trip, he had taken a photo of a demon god at the front of this temple that was in a nearby country in the Holy Land area. And he had taken that photo and had it printed, and it was in his home. And as I was preaching on this, the Lord brought that to his remembrance. And it was a literal a picture, a photograph of the demon god that they worshiped, this idol that they worshiped. He immediately went home, destroyed that picture, and literally things changed almost overnight in his life. But he realized he had tolerated this picture. He had taken the picture. Then he tolerated bringing it into his home, thinking, it's no big deal. I was on a trip to the Holy Land. And yet it was an accursed thing. Idols, things that are idol worship related to that, are absolutely accursed things. They're the very things God stands against. It was representative of the demonic realm. It's representative of the kingdom of darkness. Do you have anything in your home that is representative of the kingdom of darkness, even though maybe you think it's a piece of artwork? I also had another interesting experience. My husband and I, we pastor a church in Southern California, and we had met a very lovely Taiwanese woman, new believer, loved God, and she had invited us to her home, and she asked us this question. She said, I just feel like there's something not right in my house. And she said, would you be so kind as to walk around my home with me and pray and see if there's anything in here that I shouldn't have? There's just something's not right. My daughter has nightmares at night, and she's a teenage daughter, and we cannot figure out what's going on. And so after walking through the home, I came to a particular bookshelf that this woman had, and I felt very, very impressed by the Lord to point to a particular row of books. Now, the books were all in Chinese, so I had no knowledge of what they were. But I pointed to them, and she gasped, and she said, oh my goodness, those books are books on fortune telling, Chinese fortune telling, and they were like antique books, and she hadn't even thought about them, that she even had them in her possession, and they were old books, and she hadn't even thought. It was obviously not something she pursued, but she did have them. They had come into her possession through family or some manner as of that, and she destroyed those books. A few other items the Lord pointed out that were absolutely representative of the demonic realm, which she was not, you know, she was ignorant of it. Things turned around in her life after we went through the home in that way, because she unwittingly and ignorantly had in her camp, you could say, some accursed things. And they had literally brought in a spirit of oppression, even though this woman was a very genuine, godly, on fire, born again Christian. So this principle, spiritual principle of the accursed thing, is very relevant to our day, because we live in a land that is filled with accursed things. The television brings them into your home, the videos, all these various things. But let me give you some examples that you can consider and pray about. Ask the Lord, have I brought anything into my home that's an open door for oppression in our house, into your family's life? Any items that are related in any way to the occult, magic, witchcraft, spiritism, astrology, New Age, etc., you have to understand, even if they're cartoon form or seemingly, one would say, a joke, you have to understand that demonic spirits are attracted to and will attach themselves to items which represent their kingdom. It's literally a calling card saying, oh, look, this person agrees with me. They've got these things in their home. And these are things that you need to avoid. And this isn't to be legalistic, but we have to be wise to what the strategy of the enemy is. He may not be able to get you to turn your back and curse God, but if he can sneak something into your home by your own agreement, because you think, well, it's a piece of artwork, or it's something my family passed down through the generations, an antique item, you have to understand he'll use that as a springboard for a foothold of oppression in your home, because he can't get you to agree to turn your back on God or follow after idols or fall into deep sin or something. He'll use whatever he can, but he's looking for a foothold that he can get into your life. even if you're very devout Christian and desire to keep your home very pure and a place where the presence of God lives, you have to be aware that these things can be brought in a very innocuous manner. I'll give you an example from our own lives. I am very, very sensitive about this issue. We have been very guarded about keeping our home as a place that is filled with the presence of God and no other influence. We had a relative that sent as a gift a subscription. On the outside, you'd say is no big problem. However, oftentimes they take photos of cultures who worship demons and different idols, etc. My policy was, because I think there were some things of value in that magazine that would be helpful in his schooling, when the magazine would come, I would go through it every single page, not missing a one, and rip out any pages I felt had any demonic reference or influence involved in them and keep the other parts. Throw that part out and only keep the part that was acceptable. Actually, one night I was sleeping and I was awoken suddenly with this full-blown picture in my mind of this demonic, cultic creature with eight arms. And it's a demon or an idol, actually, or a god that's worshipped in some Asian countries. I said, "Dear God, what is that?" I mean, it was like almost full-blown in front of me. And I said, "God, what is that?" The Lord immediately impressed on my heart that that thing was in my house. And I said, "Father in heaven, how can that be?" And I remembered the magazine had come in the mail, but I had not had time to do my usual perusing of it and destroying any parts that were not right. I went, got up in the middle of the night, went to our bookshelf, pulled the most recent thing out, opened it, and lo and behold, there was the exact photo of the thing I saw when I woke up. And I'm telling you, God was warning me to be more diligent, more vigilant in our home, not even to let time or busyness get in the way of vigilantly guarding our home from influences that were not of God. We don't want any accursed things to come in to bring in a spirit of oppression in any way. So anything representative of the kingdom of darkness would qualify as an accursed thing. Books or tapes or items related to hypnotism, mind control, subliminal messages. How about books or items related to yoga? Do you realize that the word yoga means yoke in Sanskrit? And yoga is a Hindu system of philosophy. Yoga is associated with worship of Eastern deities. Don't just think, well, it's just exercise. Don't be tolerant of things that Satan has tried to make look innocent that really have a wicked root to them. If the root's wicked, the whole thing is wicked. Religious artifacts are books that don't point to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This includes studies of other religions, and you have to really seriously consider that. Foreign objects or art objects or cultural icons like totem poles, spirit face masks, oriental art that features dragons, which are worshipped as god, demonic type gods. Popular music and videos, obviously, can be an open door for unclean spirits. You have to check the content, lyrics, album covers for things that point to the kingdom of darkness. And that includes immorality, violence, fear, hopelessness, etc. You've got to be wise. We live in a day when Satan is trying from every possible angle to bring in things that are footholds and eventually strongholds of oppression to snare you and your family and your children. And let me warn you, toys and children's videos, comic books and books are often a place where Satan's trying to sneak in. The most popular children's book series that is being sold right now is totally involved in wizardry and sorcery. I could name it, you'd have known the name of it. And it is the number one bestseller, and it is completely involved in sorcery and wizardry. Oh, it's just cute. Do not be tolerant of things the enemy has tried to portray as cute that are opposed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Satan's trying to sneak an accursed thing into your camp, like he did with Joshua and the Israelites, and it made them unable to stand against their enemies. You don't want to be in a position where you cannot resist the attack of Satan against your family. Satan wants to take your children into bondage, into drugs and alcohol and immorality, and he starts when they're very young. So I encourage you today, you want to live a life free from oppression, be watchful, be wise, be vigilant, be diligent, that you don't allow accursed things into your life or into the lives of your children. That's all the time we have for today. But if you'd like further study on this subject, we have an 8-tape series called How to Live Free from Oppression that we'll be happy to send you as a gift in return for any donation of $30 or more to Hidden with Christ Radio Ministry. Thanks for listening today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.